True North, AM 1460, FM 101.1. The Answer, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. or via podcast.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Shining a light on the leaders and luminaries of today and tomorrow. You're listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
All right, good Saturday morning. Today is Saturday, April 13th. It's 0800 here in Southern Colorado. It's an actually gorgeous day. You're listening to True North. That song means it is time for a cup of coffee or a walk with your dog. And we're going to just kind of kick back and get to know somebody pretty extraordinary here in Southern Colorado. It's supposed to be around 71 degrees today, a little partly cloudy, but winter is not quite done with us. According to the National Weather Service, next week, winter is going to arm wrestle a little bit more with spring for dominance in April. And we're supposed to drop into the 30s, so don't put the parkas up just yet. We got another week of this, and then hopefully spring will wrangle free. And we'll get into the really good stuff here in Southern Colorado. So anyway, glad you're with us. And we had a big week here in Southern Colorado. The 39th Space Symposium concluded here in Colorado Springs. We have about 12,000 visitors from 40 nations came in to the Broadmoor and Cheyenne Mountain Resort and 30 other hotels around the region. So it was a great economic development story and some great stories within that also. Came out from the Economic Development Corporation here. So if you're into that kind of business news, check out the Southern Colorado Business Forum and Digest. You go to SoCoDigest.com. You pick that up for free, and we'll send you kind of the week's business news, economic development, workforce, venture capital discussion, private equity, you name it, it's in there. And if you want to see what's going on in Southern Colorado's macroeconomy, that is the place to go. And you get a good insight into what's happening in the region. So our summer season here, listeners, is almost upon us. We got a very busy summer activity schedule starting in May 20th. Megan Leatham, CEO over at the Sports Corp, and John Mason, who's the Senior Vice President of Communications over at the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, are going to join me at Notes Bar at 5:30. So the May 20th is a Monday. And we're going to talk about all things sports economy here in Southern Colorado. We've got an emerging market here, an economic cluster. That economic cluster might be a little aggressive or ambitious, but certainly an emerging workplace, workforce, and economic hub for amateur sports. Of course, the United States Olympic Committee and Paralympic Committee is headquartered here, the training center, the museum, and then, of course, we have 25 NGBs. But you wouldn't know that if you were listening to one of the local stations in town was saying that a lot of the NGBs were going to flee the area, and that is just simply untrue. So we've actually got a great story in the Digest that says Olympic City, USA is here to stay. We've actually interviewed those folks that were supposedly fleeing to Charlotte, North Carolina for greener grass, but they're not. We've got one that's a little one NGB that has two members in it. One is a CFO, one's an operator, and I think one of those two is moving to Charlotte. But that does not constitute an exodus for the NGBs leaving Colorado. In fact, they quite adore what we're doing here, and Olympic City USA is here to stay, so we're thriving. But Megan and Jason are going to talk about the sports economy and all things Olympic City USA, so join us there if you can. Registration is required, so you can go to Notes Live and register with a QR code there. Starting in June, we got the Pikes Peak Apex, so if you're a technical cyclist, that is a big deal. That's a several-day event. With mountain bikes up the America the Beautiful Mountain. So Pikes Peak Apex, June 7th through the 9th. Then you got June 23rd, We have the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. This is the second oldest race in the United States behind the Daytona 500. So very historical race. You want to definitely get a part of that. As we move into July, we've got the Downtown Summer Festival, the state games here at Rocky Mountain State Games, July 19th through the 20th. Then we move into August. One Republic kicks off the Sunset Amphitheater in our new entertainment district. J.W. Roth and company are, man, they're bringing some amazing acts to this part of the world. We are no longer an entertainment desert. And we got Robert Plant coming to Colorado Springs. I'm sorry, that's cool. July, let's see, that's I'm done with July. Now we're moving into August real quick, and then we'll get to the real reason we're here today. August 10th, Cycle to the Summit. That's for the less technical but certainly strong and proficient cyclists who want to cycle to the summit of Pikes Peak. August 17th through the 18th, this is a fabulous. Every other year, we have the Pikes Peak Regional Air Show, and the Blue Angels are coming to the high country. Whew. First time, I think. First time they've been here. So, and our Thunderbirds are going elsewhere, so they're just trading places. And that should be a fabulous, fabulous event out of Colorado Springs Airport. And then finally, Labor Day liftoff, August 31st through September 2nd. So there is no shortage of things to do here in southern Colorado during the summertime, not to mention our fabulous weather. So entertainment, the arts, sports, active lifestyle, we've got it here. Hopefully I'm making my guest a little sad because he's leaving us for greener pastures. And truly, actually, they may be greener pastures. It's certainly a lot more fun and maybe a little less stressful. I'm sitting with Lieutenant General Richard M. Clark. And he is the superintendent of the United States Air Force Academy. So those of you not familiar with the stars, that is three stars, Lieutenant General, on his, what are these called?
Shoulders.
Shoulders. Yeah, but there's another term for it. there's a dress thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Lieutenant General Clark, welcome.
Thank you, Dirk. I appreciate being here. And you're right. I am going to be sad to leave Colorado Springs. Yeah. So is my wife.
Yeah.
This is where we want to end up. So one day we'll be back, though.
I you certainly will be back.
Absolutely.
Because my house is open if you want to hang.
Oh.
Okay. And I got a great porch. Some good cigars. We overlook the academy. So you can just say, yeah, I worked over there.
Okay.
So anyway, the invitation's open for sure. But first of all, congratulations on your new appointment. We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really wanted to spend some time with you and let you just kind of share some of your reflections of your tenure here in Colorado Springs, because it's been a lot of fun to work with you, observe you, and have you here leading these cadets through these kind of interesting times we're in, you know?
They were interesting times, but my wife and I, Amy, have loved our time at the Academy and here in Colorado Springs. It's my, you know, I was here as the commandant of the Air Force Academy.
That's right.
From 2010 to 12. Mm-hmm. And we love that experience. And when the chief of staff of the Air Force, General Goldfein, asked me, because I was actually competitive for a fourth star. And when he brought me in his office for lunch, he goes, "Hey, Rich, you know, you're competitive for a fourth star." And I thought the lunch was about him telling me that I was getting promoted. And then out of the blue, he goes, "You're competitive for a four star. You're moving in a good direction. But what would you think about going to the Air Force Academy to be the superintendent?"
Mm.
And I thought, "Are you kidding?" There is no question.
Really?
Yes, sir.
No hesitation.
Well, I might have hesitated for a second because it caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But then he helped me hesitate because he goes, "Maybe you should ask Amy first." And I was like,
"Smart fella.
You just saved me."
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So when I walked, I literally, after we finished talking, he said, "Just get back to me." And I went into the hallway, and in the Pentagon, there's these telephones on some of the walls so you can call into an office.
Sure.
But you can also call out. And I called Amy, and she's like, "Did he promote you?" And I said, "No, but he asked me if I wanted to go back to the academy." And she was like, "Oh, yeah. Let's do that."
She was totally on board.
Totally on board.
Oh, wow.
And so I called him that day.
Yeah.
Told him, "Yes, sir, I'm in." And here we are.
No kidding.
And that was like 4.5 years ago.
So where can you say Amy's excitement about coming back to Colorado Springs originated from? Where did that come from?
Well, I think our time as the Commandant was just great. I mean, okay. Being around cadets, you can't help but be inspired.
Yeah.
You know, they're energetic, they're funny, they're creative, but sometimes they're a little challenging.
Sure.
You know?
Of course they are.
But it is an exciting life. Never a dull moment. And you can't help but be inspired, you know? Mm-hmm. And we both love Colorado Springs. We love to ski. We love to hike. We love to mountain bike. The community is just fantastic. And we still had a lot of friends here.
Yeah.
So coming back was just like, yes, this is it. And we wanted to retire here anyway.
Okay.
So we were thinking, okay, this is a nice, smooth transition, so let's do this.
Okay. So with this timing, and we'll get to this in the next quarter because we have about 2 minutes here. With this timing of you sunsetting your career as superintendent in 2024, would that have kind of been the timing for you anyway? Or were you looking to continue on for a little while longer or?
Well, so if I had gotten promoted to a 4-star,
right,
my timing would have been about now.
Got it.
If I didn't get promoted to a 4-star, I would have retired.
Oh, okay.
Then, and then I would have, you know, I'd have probably been in some other job.
Right.
And that was always the path we thought. It was either you're going to get promoted or you're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was kind of a third path that got presented, and here we are.
Here
so,
you are.
By law, I have to retire at 38 years. So I graduated from the academy on 28 May.
Yep.
1986. That was like last century. And then so 38 years later will be May 28th, 2024. But they give me a couple of grace days. So 1 June is my official day, the first day that I'm out of the Air Force by law.
Very good.
So,
well, we're going to unpack what's next for you, which is the CFP. So if you're an athlete or football fan of any kind, you're going to want to stick around and listen to the Soup unpack what's next for he and Amy as they come to the conclusion of their term here at the Air Force Academy and move to Dallas, where the CFP is headquartered. So stick with us. We're back in a moment with Lieutenant General Richard Clark. Bye-bye.
Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. Bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, second quarter here, True North. I am your host, Dirk Hobbs. I'm hanging out with Lieutenant General Clark, who is the superintendent of the United States Air Force Academy here in Colorado Springs. But not for long. He's moving on to greener pastures. At least fun. For fun. Well, I wouldn't say this wasn't fun. I think you had some fun here.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
It certainly looked like you did.
I did. I mean, the cadets, you get with them, you're either horrified or you're just thrilled to death because they're just so much younger, energetic. I love being around the cadets.
Well, college students, I mean, it's like going to the zoo. I mean, you never know what you're
going to get. You don't know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get. But anyway, General Clark has served here at the United States Air Force Academy, first as commandant for a couple of years, and then he got a phone call from the chief of staff of the Air Force saying, hey, what do you think about superintendent of the Air Force Academy? And it wasn't long before he and Amy were on the phone and talking about staying here in Colorado Springs. And we're glad you did.
Yes.
So thank you for your service. An illustrious career, of course.
Thank you. And just
spectacular leadership from a lot of people's chair watching that. And you really, General Clark, I think one thing that I've observed personally is that you really are in it with these kids, and they can feel that authenticity.
I try to be in it with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes being in it is where the horrifying part of it is when they have me,
no doubt,
doing things with them, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get hurt here. Some people say, well, it's so good for the cadets. And, and it's not just the cadets. It's our other airmen and guardians on base. I like to be with them. I learn so much but it also gets me inspired to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was sitting in the office doing emails all day, I would last a month.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
But because I can be with the folks that I'm working with and understand them and what they do, it makes it, it's just a different dimension of the job. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know people say it's for them, but there's a selfish motive there to just keep myself inspired and energized. So
no question about it.
I love it. I love it.
So when you picked up the phone with Amy back at the Pentagon, because you were there when you had this initial conversation, she was excited. She was
yes.
excited to stay here.
Yeah.
I can only assume that meant because she didn't have to pack up and move again, partially. Is that accurate?
Well, she, you know, we had to pack up and move out of D.C.
and
come here. But I think it was less about her packing up and moving, but more about where we were moving to.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that we were coming back to a community that we love, people that we know, and a mission that is just inspiring to both of us. I just think there was no question in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I can't go anywhere unless she's kind of going, yep, I'm with you.
Right on.
You know, otherwise it'd be a tough life.
Absolutely.
So,
totally get it.
But we love it.
So how would you describe in a nutshell, you know, your experience at Super,
mm-hmm.
Over the last several years? Give us a couple adjectives to kind of executive summary of that term.
I would say inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I would say difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I would say challenging and requiring some perseverance at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there was unexpected events
yeah.
that made it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing I would say, you know, I know it's not one word, but full circle.
Okay.
You know, this is where I started and
yeah.
I'm ending up full circle right back. You know, in fact, we do our graduation on the football field. That's where my retirement's going to be.
Wow.
So I am grateful to the Academy and what it's done for me, and my life and my family. And I'm glad that I was able to give back mm-hmm. to the school that gave so much to me. And ending up there is special. It means a lot to me to be able to
retire. I would think so.
There.
I mean, you talked about that in your story on when you were on the cover of North. You talked about that giving back component,
mm-hmm.
Which I think anybody in their right mind admires the ability. Because you were a cadet, like you said. You played with under Fisher, right?
Yes,
yeah.
And Ken Hatfield.
Ken Hatfield
2 years.
Yeah.
And then Coach DeBerry 2 years. Ken Hatfield brought me here.
No kidding.
He went to visit my parents, because I wasn't coming. We're not a military family,
uh-huh.
but he came to our house and sat on our couch and ate dinner, and my mother invited him to have dinner with us, and she was like, he's so nice. You need to go out there and visit that place, and you know, and rest is history.
Rest is truly history. But yeah, you played. There's some great highlight reels of you out there still.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
You did pretty good, man. So you can talk the talk, though, when you're out on that field.
I can. You know, I could talk the highs and lows of football and college athletics. But, I look at it as that's what shaped me as a leader.
Sure.
Playing a sport at the Air Force Academy, to me, there's no better recipe for leadership development, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it gave me.
So when you say you give back to the Academy, so what does that mean on a tangible level? Is it experience, wisdom, encouragement, coaching? What is it? Or all the above and more?
I think there's a lot there. Everybody who's there, everybody who's stationed, it's not just me. It's all of our faculty, all of our staff, mm-hmm. our coaches, the airmen who run the base, everyone's giving back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has an opportunity to build their replacements. You know, those cadets are the ones that are going to replace us at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're all older. And when we retire, they're the ones that are going to be there.
Yep.
And somebody invested in all of us at some point in our careers. And now it's our chance to invest in our future.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it is an opportunity for me to give back, but everybody that's there does that and has that same opportunity. For me, my giving back, though, is really, the 4 years, because I could have retired as a three-star general sure. 4 years ago.
Right.
But I also look at this 4 years as something I'm giving back to the academy, as an investment in what the academy does, and an investment in our future airmen and guardians, but also into the academy itself. I came in with a goal to really help us expand, you know, to build mm-hmm. new facilities, to get money for the things that we needed, to get the resources and the right people in the right place. So it wasn't just about the cadets, but it was about the whole of the academy, that I just wanted to help take us to the next level.
Yeah.
And I know that every superintendent does that. Every one of us that comes in says, I want to leave it better than I found, you know, mm-hmm. and that was my goal, you know, and I'm really happy with the things that we were able to do there. But that's what I mean by giving back, leaving it better than I found it.
Perfect.
And helping those cadets to be better when they graduate than they were when they came in.
So when you first came to the job, you had a landscape in front of you that had opportunity, challenges, and so forth. Now that you're starting to sunset that chapter of the book of General Clark, do you feel that you were successful in addressing those changes? Do you feel that you accomplished what you set out to do here? Or does that just take another lifetime sometimes to get it all done?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question, Dirk. So here's the way I look at it. You take things as far as you can, absolutely as far as you can, so that the next person can pick up and keep moving it along.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some things. I mean, I'll give you one. I can't even believe I'm going to say this. The chapel.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I wanted that finished while I was here.
Of course, yeah.
And putting that big box. I call it the chap in the box. I wanted to finish that so bad.
Chap in the box.
And we just couldn't get there. And you know, I had to, we found asbestos in it, and right. that's what really prolonged it. But I had to go get $60 million more to get that thing fixed.
Yeah.
It is, but it's going to get fixed. We're not going to tear down the chapel. It is just too iconic.
Right.
But there's things like that got started before I came.
Mm-hmm.
It endured throughout my whole tenure, and the next soup is going to be the one to finish it, you mm-hmm. know, to make sure that it stays on track and gets done. So there's always a lot of things that you know, you walk in the door and you go, okay, I want to finish this.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But what you have to do is leave it in a place where someone else can pick it up and keep running and keep going. But I think overall, to answer your question, I'm very happy with what I was able to help get done at the academy. I didn't do any of it by myself, but I was able to be a part of it and to keep moving things forward. And coming in the door, here's one thing I did know. The time when I was commandant, it was 2 years. It went so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe how fast it went. So when I came in, I was like, day one, I don't have a lot of time. I got to get going.
So you knew urgency was on the table.
Yes, I was urgent from day one, trying to get things done and trying to move them along.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy that I sort of had that perspective coming in mm-hmm. so that I didn't wait too long to go, okay, I think I'll get started now. Right. I wouldn't have got anything done.
Yeah.
And I'm a big procrastinator anyway. so getting rolling early was a good thing. And I'm happy with what our team was able to accomplish during my tenure.
Absolutely. Well, you certainly did lead this great academy forward. And any member of the community is certainly 100% behind you, behind the academy. We love our academy as well, because it's kind of ours here in Colorado Springs.
And, we are. We're your academy.
Yes, and we're very grateful, because this is a veteran-supportive community.
Of course.
You know,
absolutely.
We're a military community, and I love it, because that is family. But certainly appreciate what you've done there. We're going to get into a little more about, you know, what his tenure was like here, some of the highs and the lows, and then we're going to move into the fun part, the CFP discussion. He's got new horizons, folks, and we're very excited for the soup, but we are going to miss him. Stick around. We're back with Lieutenant General Clark in just a moment.
The news and events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
I was soaring ever higher.
All right, second half here, True North. You're listening to Dirk Hobbs on a Saturday morning, but more importantly, you're listening to Lieutenant General Richard Clark, who's the superintendent up at our United States Air Force Academy here in Colorado Springs. And this, after an illustrious career at the Pentagon and elsewhere, he had an opportunity for a fourth star. It was sitting on the desk. And
okay, I wouldn't go that far.
Wouldn't go that far, but it was certainly rising. And he got a phone call asking, what about the United States Air Force Academy? And he and his lovely wife, Amy, said, absolutely. It's a great opportunity to give back. So, and what an honor for this community to have the superintendent here. And giving back to what was, again, otherwise a very illustrious career. And so we've been talking about his tenure from when he got here a few years ago. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to kind of get into was the leadership tenets that you brought to the academy, okay, the things that you really started to galvanize in your personal leadership style. What would you say were some of those that you brought with you and that you truly felt you instituted well while you were here?
Well, that's a really good question, Dirk. So one thing that when I came in, and this stems a little bit from my time as a commandant, because as a commandant, you're around the cadets a lot more.
Okay.
And you actually spend probably more time with the cadets than any other senior leader at the academy. The superintendent is usually not that visible because you're more up and out. You know, you're working with the Pentagon, Congress,
right.
The community. There's just other things that you have to do and that you need to do. And I knew that those external things were really important, but I wanted to still have a presence. Mm-hmm. And I still wanted to be approachable to the cadets and let them know who I was, my authentic self. Mm-hmm. So that when I had to make decisions, even tough decisions, that they would have some trust that I was doing it for their good. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to always know that, because they're not going to always agree with it. But I do think that, especially with this generation, if they trust you, even if they don't fully agree with what you're doing, they'll get on board and see how it goes.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be a visible and a present superintendent. And people never believe this. I'm by nature a pretty introverted person. But when I went to the Center for Creative Leadership, and you know, you do the Myers-Briggs and all those tests,
sure.
And they were like, yep, you're an introvert, but you're an overcompensating introvert, you know, meaning you sort of go overboard a little bit. So, because you know, you're kind of a little more. And so I was like, okay, well, that's good to know. You know, and the only difference is you have to recharge different, you know, extroverts charge up while they're around people. Introverts, you get drained. And so I feel like that was something that coming in, I was like, okay, you're going to have to get ready, mm-hmm. get on your roller skates and drive and push. And it's going to be 3, probably 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I think on the last day, I'll probably pass out, you know, I'll retire and then I'll just go face plant on the stage or something. But it's been good.
I totally appreciate what you just said there, because one of my better memories of you was when the 100th running of the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb mm-hmm. was being kind of the opening ceremonies.
Right.
And they put you in a car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you hit the pedal pretty hard there, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm good in a car. Now, if I had to run,
Yeah. Some same way. But they put you in one of the automobiles that was going to go to the top there. And I recall you hitting that pretty hard.
It was good. There's, you know, and as an introvert, I could do that.
Yeah. You had a little horsepower underneath that. That feels pretty good. Right on.
It was good.
So what were some of the surprises on the job that you just didn't see coming?
Oh, okay. So I will tell you this. COVID, I came in right in the middle, really at the early.
I forgot.
I came in right before the big second wave of COVID.
That's right.
And when I came in, one of the first things that I got was every service academy will keep your cadets and midshipmen at the academies. There's no more sending them home during COVID, which is what my predecessor, and as well as at the other service academies, they sent their students home.
Got it.
To kind of weather through COVID. Well, when the second wave hit, there was a memo that said, you're not doing that again. Mm. And so when it started getting bad, And when I came in, actually, the chief, one of the things he said was, yeah, we think we have this COVID thing pretty much under control, so you should be good. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was not the truth. And that was tough. Yeah. I am telling you, because we had to, you know, we had to lock ourselves down. We had to quarantine. We even had to rent hotels downtown so we could have quarantine space. Mm. We went through the whole testing thing. Sure. You know, when you're trying to test thousands of people, it's a challenge. And then we still had to keep them in school. Mm. You know, we still had to, pivot to a virtual academic. We had to still get our athletic events in. We still had to do the military training, and trying to do that and social distance and wear masks and quarantine people and test people and then start vaccinating people. Mm. It was a bigger challenge than I thought, and it was consuming. But I'm proud of the cadets. The class of 24 were the freshmen, the ones that are graduating now, the cadets graduating now. They were the freshmen. And a lot of people say to them, they're like, oh, you guys didn't get a tough freshman year because of COVID. I'm like, are you out of your mind? What they had to go through as freshmen during a global pandemic and persevere and endure made me proud to watch them and all the other cadets. Mm-hmm. It was just a test of will, you know, for what they had to do.
Yeah.
And so that was a surprise how hard that was for everybody.
Kind of a big psychops exercise, right?
I mean, yes,
for about
absolutely,
a year.
Absolutely.
Because not only were the demands in the rigor of the curriculum and athletics, if you're a student athlete up there, but then you have this paradigm in this reality that we're all dealing with about social distancing. And, you know, none of us knew at that time that this was going to be a relatively short-lived experience. But when we were in the front row experiencing it, we didn't know if this was going to be a 20-year journey or a 5-year journey or whatever. So, congratulations to the leadership and the cadets for being agile.
Yes.
And, bellying up to the bar and getting it done. Of course, you have your cadets, and then you've got your leadership. That's another group of humans you had to get on page with this whole thing.
Yes, and you know, it was not just the leadership, but the community. Because I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of different views about COVID at that time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different views about vaccinations at that time,
right?
And for us, it was pretty clear cut what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. Not just to make it, but also what the Department of Defense policy was on things.
Right.
And so we knew what our policy guidance was. We had to make decisions on how we were going to navigate it. But it was really interesting to have to endure through some of the political ideas and engagements that were happening on that. I mean, there was one point I was getting protests. There was picketers outside the gate with my office phone number on their picket signs.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was great. My wife and daughter were in the car, and my daughter goes, Dad, is that your phone number on that sign? I was like, oh, my gosh.
Good night.
You know, but, you know, the fact of the matter is we were complying with Department of Defense policy.
Of course.
And I know where everybody's political views were, or, you know, just their views on vaccinations, you know, in general. And I respect that. Everybody has their views, but I had a job to do.
I mean,
and I just needed to do it. And so that was a surprise too. And really throughout my whole time, there's a lot of, you know, I have people, you know, politically, I am not a political animal. I read, I watch, I see what's going on, but I tend to kind of stay out of that realm. Especially as a military officer, but it just seemed like everything that happens these days falls into somebody's political spectrum, and they want to pull you in, and you're just like, I'm just trying to do my job here.
Just moving through.
You know, can we just you know, look the other way and let me do this? Because I don't, as a military officer, it's just not an area that I want to wade into. The things we were doing were either, you know, directed by the Department of Defense, and they were not illegal, immoral, or unethical, so we were moving out, or they were things that we needed to do as an academy to keep pressing. It wasn't out of political ideology. It was out of necessity. That we needed to do it. Yeah. So I was a little bit surprised at how much of that we had to kind of deal with. Mm-hmm. But you know, we did it and we kept on moving. And I always figure if I got people on both sides of the spectrum who are mad at me, then I'm probably right. I'm probably like right in the sweet spot.
A little bit of wisdom for you.
Yeah.
If you're flanked by differing, you're probably.
Yeah, if everyone's mad at you, you're probably okay.
You're probably doing your job white.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Wisdom and advice that you got from your predecessors, did it play out?
It did. I think the best advice was, really just stay the course and don't let the external things bog you down, mm-hmm. but keep on doing what's right for the cadets, mm-hmm. and make sure that you make them your focus and not let other things kind of distract you.
Yeah.
So that was really my focus, as well as everybody else at the Air Force Academy, was to make sure that we were doing right by the cadets. And, that's kind of hard, and it provides, or gives you the opportunity to provide top cover, to keep some of those things out of the mission space so that the mission could keep running. So, that is good, solid advice.
There you go.
Something I followed.
Something you followed. All right, we're back with Lieutenant General Richard Clark here, Superintendent of the United States Air Force Academy, in just a moment. And we're going to ask what his impression is of the generation that he has had the privilege and pleasure of leading through the last several years, through COVID and now out into the active duty world. So stick with us. We're back in a moment. And we're also going to talk about that college football thing he's doing next.
Your gateway to great entertainment, bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out bootbarnhall.com. Boot Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, we're back here, fourth quarter, True North. Thank you to Boot Barn Hall and Notes Live, the folks that are bringing us the Sunset Amphitheater up on the northern part of El Paso County. We are getting some great entertainment coming into Southern Colorado, starting with One Republic. And then we've got Alison Krauss and Robert Plant, and we have the Beach Boys. And, man, we've got, Foreigners on Deck. I mean, come on, man. This is really cool stuff coming here to Southern Colorado. So thank you, J.W. Roth and Company, for bringing us all that entertainment district on the north side. It's going to be a lot of fun this fall, in late summer, fall, and winter of next year. So stick around, get your tickets, and make sure we do our part to make sure that stadium is full. I'm hanging out with Lieutenant General Richard Clark, who is the current superintendent of the United States Air Force Academy, has had 38 years of service.
38 years.
38 years. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been great. It's been awesome.
Well, and I know you guys hear this a lot, all of you, as uniform personnel. And living here, I grew up in Miami pretty much, but living here has given me a staunch appreciation for the commitment and the dedication and the sacrifice uniform members make. And I thank you for that.
I think I could speak for the other military members I know. Yeah. First, thank you, but also we're honored to serve. Yeah. I mean, it is an honor and a privilege to serve this country. So, but thank you for that.
No, and I appreciate that our culture has kind of shifted and recognizes that level of appreciation is not only due, it's now a comfortable thing for us to do, because there was a season in this nation, all know, that people didn't always respond that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And what a great stint up here at the Academy. I'm always curious, as anybody, as we get downstream in age, you start to think, oh, those kids,
right?
they don't do it the way we did it. And so,
say that about my own kids. So.
Amen, man. I got stories. But what have you learned about this generation of kids? What surprised you? And then what about your particular leadership style, did you want to make sure that these kids, you kind of broke in the stallions, for lack of a better phrase, because they are, they're rambunctious. They come from an entitlement mindset. A lot of them do. Well, I'll just let you run with it. I mean, what were you surprised by with this?
Yeah, group? Dirk. So first, I do have two college age kids myself. Yeah. I have a senior in college and a sophomore in college, mm-hmm. a boy and a girl. And our daughter is a government major. Our son is a physics major. They're very different people. So I kind of get a spectrum of, you know, of people at mm-hmm. that age group.
Sure.
What I find is that they're really smart and globally aware. Mm. And I think that's because information is at their fingertips.
Right.
And they know how to get it. They know how to access it. And they're actually interested in it.
Okay.
And so I find, especially from our cadets, that they're a lot more aware of the world that they live in than I was as a younger person, you know, at their age. And I think that's a good thing. I also think, and at first this really frustrated me, they always ask why. You know, you say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And there is a huge demand from them to know the why behind it. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, you know, when I was younger, somebody told me to jump, I jumped. You know, I didn't ask why. I was already airborne before they said it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I now come to realize that it's not a bad thing to give the why. I mean, as leaders, we owe our people the why, the purpose behind things. Mm-hmm. And what I find with this group is if we explain the why, they may not agree with it, but at least they know that you know why.
Okay.
Why you're asking them to do something. And some people might look at that as, you know, why are they always questioning us? Why don't they just do it? You know, well, they're smart and they want to know. And frankly, they deserve to know. So once you kind of get over that part of it, if we can't tell them the why, maybe we shouldn't be asking them to do it.
No, I appreciate that. You know? And that's wisdom on the other side of that experience that I think teachers throughout you know, the United States, throughout the world would appreciate and respect is giving them that why. But also you kind of see that as a almost a strength.
Yes.
In disguise, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the weaknesses of the generation that you feel that you would advise them to really focus on and really try to get engaged with and continue to make that contribution and that sacrifice?
So I think here's the other thing about this generation is they want flexibility in their lives.
Yeah, they sure do.
And they want to know that if their life purpose or what they think their life purpose, if it changes, that they have the flexibility to navigate their life and they don't want to be locked in. One of the things I hear a lot of time is, I'm not sure if I want to commit to a 20-year career or not.
Okay.
Right? And that's not, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but here's what I would tell them and what I do tell them. Whatever you do, you have to know your purpose and stay true to your purpose. Don't just change for the sake of changing or change out of boredom or, you know, but stay true to your purpose so that you're fulfilling a life purpose as you go forward. And if that purpose takes you somewhere else, that's okay. But make it meaningful. Don't just do it for the sake of doing it. Don't just do it because you make more money. You know, do it for a greater purpose, something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I really want to try to impart on folks. I do it with my kids. I talk to the cadets about it. But it's something that I would, if I could have every young person in this generation know that and understand that, that would be it. Purpose.
15-second perception of this particular class moving through. Are they ready? Are they locked and loaded?
They're absolutely ready.
Love it.
They're so smart and they're so excited about what the future has for them. And one of our focuses is really to develop leaders that are ready to go out and win wars and to win that future conflict. And the thing that I'll say about these guys is that they're ready. They're so innovative and thoughtful and they're actually very bold thinkers that they're going to deal with problems that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to fight an adversary that will bring them issues and problems that we never imagined, but they have the creativity, this skill set to really go and solve those problems. And I think it comes a little bit from that worldliness that they have.
Sure.
But they're ready to do this.
And that patriotism is in there?
The patriotism is still there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is. It looks a little bit different than maybe we were, because when someone says, I don't know if I'm ready to serve 20 years, you might go, well, you're not a patriot then. Mm. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
You know, that may be how we were or I was, but that doesn't mean that they're not patriotic and they don't want to make a difference. Yeah, so I'm excited about this generation, and they're good, and they're excited about their future.
Very good. Well, I want to shift gears here because I promised the audience and you, we get to talk a little bit about CFP.
Oh.
You got the job.
Man. I did. I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I am blessed. I totally blessed.
Yeah. Is this a dream job?
It is now, but it wasn't a job that I ever even saw coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that it was a possibility for me. God just kind of said, hey, here's an opportunity. And, you know, I always kind of feel like when I get an opportunity put in front of me, if it even remotely looks good, go for it.
Say yes.
Go. Yeah. Don't even look back. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if you don't go hard, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
So is this like the academy? You kind of don't know necessarily what you're walking into entirely? Or do you have a pretty good view?
No, I do know. I've been doing a lot of studying and reading. Yep. And I've even gone and spent some time with CFP and some of the commissioners mm-hmm. just to understand. I've had to take some leave to go do that.
Yep.
But just to help build my awareness on those opportunities. But I'll have a steep learning curve. There's no question. No question. But I am more than excited for this.
Well, after you get a few years under your belt up there, maybe you'll drop us a phone call and tell us how it's going.
Well, if you keep wearing that Ole Miss shirt, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do here.
Howdy, Toddy, friend. Come on now. No. I'm a Southeastern Conference guy.
No, and that's the conference, Southeast Conference.
It's a good one.
Yes.
Well, look, man, how do you recharge your batteries? Where do you get your source of strength from? And we got to go quick on this.
Well, I'll just say that, my faith is everything. I mean, that is first in my life. And I, you know, my relationship with God is most important to me.
Love that.
And then the next thing, close second, is my family.
Amen.
That's Amy is everything to me, and my kids, Milo and Zoe. We're a team, and we've been a team, and we've been doing a lot. We've had an adventure over the decades. Yeah. So that's important to me. And those are the two most important things in my life, and that's everything.
That's all a man needs.
Yeah. And so CFP is going to be a good third place, though. It's going to be good.
I would hope so.
Yes.
All right. You're going to sunset here your career with the United States Air Force, 38 years. You're going to send this last class off into the world, and you're going to close that ceremony. I'm sure there's other times, but when you've had a really great day, I gotta spring this on you. When you've had a really great day, it's just been a kick butt day, mm-hmm. right? And you've had a lot of W's and green lights.
Right.
What is your jam song, man?
Oh, so I got a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, like anything by Earth, Wind, and Fire gets me fired up.
Okay.
No pun intended, but it does. But if there was a song, it would be Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas.
Ah, Kansas.
I love that song.
I did not see that coming.
You didn't, but it's there.
All right.
That is, when I hear that song, I am fired up. It just gets me going.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And it, one of the things that got me on that was in a deployment, it was kind of our a little bit of a theme song. So it means a lot to me.
Very good. Lieutenant General Richard Clark, thank you for your service. Thank you for joining us. This has been a privilege.
Thank you, sir. Dirk, you're awesome. Thanks for what you do for our community, and thanks for having me here today.
You've been tuned in to True North. Till next time.